The weather these few days has been extremely hot, extremely hot. How many of you are feeling hot right now? Oh, yes, quite a few of you, myself included. And so when we started the 5 p.m. service and dear Arnold wished you all a very warm good afternoon, I was thinking, yes, it's really a warm good afternoon. You know, we tend to get more thirsty when the weather is very hot. And so today's topic, can we see the first slide, please? Today's topic is the cure for thirst, because we are thirsty people. What is the cure for thirst? The answer is very simple. Even a child knows when you are thirsty, the cure is to drink. Just drink. But the question is, drink what? And the two readings that we had today from Exodus 17 and John 4 speak about two kinds of water. So can we have the next slide? There's physical water, and also there's spiritual water. We need spiritual water as much more, actually much more than we need physical water. The sermon slides, sermon notes are in your bulletin for those of you who would like to follow. Can we see the next slide, please? This picture tells us about Exodus 17. The Israelites were wandering in the wilderness. The wilderness is a dry place. It's desert. It's hot. The people were wandering, and they came to a point where there was no water to drink. And they were so thirsty that they were crying out to Moses, their leader. They cried out in rage, in extreme anger, and they said to him, "Give us water to drink." They were so angry, they even started accusing him. "Why did you bring us to the wilderness? Is it to die here? We are so thirsty and there's no water to drink." You know, physical thirst brought out the worst in these people. I believe we have all experienced physical thirst, so we know what it's like. At first, your throat gets very dry. And then later, your throat gets very painful. And later still, your whole body feels tired, weak, like really no energy. And in extreme cases of dehydration, you can even collapse. So the physical thirst was driving these people mad, so angry to the point that they wanted to stone Moses and to kill him. They forgot about God. God had performed miracle after miracle for them to take them out of their bondage from Egypt. The God who provided everything for them, surely He would provide water for them now. But they forgot, and in rage, they turned against their leader. Moses, in turn, cried out to God, and this is what God said. Next slide, please. Exodus 17, verse 6. God said, "I will stand before you, Moses, there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." Amen. Moses took the staff that was in his hand. It's a rod, a staff. He struck the rock as commanded by God. Water gushed out, and the people drank. God provided a miracle for the people. That's the first case that we're looking at, the first case of extreme physical thirst. And now we look at the second. Next slide, please. This is John 4, and this time, the one who is thirsty is Jesus. He had been walking a very long distance. By the time he reached Jacob's well, the Bible says that he was wearied from his journey. You know, Jesus was in the prime of his life, a young man, only about 30 years old. Young men in the prime of their life are very strong. They're very fit. And yet, even Jesus, in the prime of his life, came to the point of extreme weariness. His body was simply tired because of thirst, because of heat, because of the long distance he had been walking. John 4, verse 6 says that it was the sixth hour. So what is the sixth hour? According to the Jewish people, the sixth hour would have been 12 noon. According to the Romans, the sixth hour would either be 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. Personally, I believe that when Jesus reached Jacob's well, it was 12 noon. And why is this so important? It's important because Jesus, remember, he had walked a long distance. He had left Judea, which is in the south, and he was on his way to Galilee in the north. He had to go that way because of trouble from the Pharisees. So by the time, assuming Jesus left Judea early in the morning, by the time he reached Samaria, Jacob's well, it would have been roughly 12 noon. This timing, to me, is very important because you know that 6 a.m., 6 p.m., they are the cool times of the day. No sun, cool times. But 12 noon is the hottest time of the day. I visited Israel several times, and I have been beaten by the noonday sun. There was once we were touring at about that time, 12 noon, and I was so hot, and I was so thirsty, and I was so tired that honestly, I didn't hear anything that the tour guide was saying. Not that I couldn't physically hear, but nothing sank into my brain because I was just so tired and so thirsty and hot. So here we see Jesus, physically exhausted, thirsty, tired, and he's come to Jacob's well. A woman comes along, and she's come to draw water from the well. And Jesus asked her for a drink of water. She is a total stranger, but there's something in people that they will help you if they know that you are in need. You know, once I went to a food court in Singapore for lunch, and I went to the chicken rice store, but I didn't feel like eating any meat that day. Actually, I was feeling very fat that day. So I said, I only want rice and vegetables. Don't ask me why I went to a fatty chicken rice stall to eat only rice and vegetables, but that's how I felt that day. So I went there and I ordered rice and vegetables. And then the hawker looked at me and he said, chicken? And I said, no chicken. I only want rice and vegetables. Then he said to me again, chicken? I said, no chicken. I only want rice and vegetables. So then he began to prepare my meal. And then he served to me a complete set. Rice, vegetables, and chicken. I said to him, I don't want chicken. And he said to me, I give to you free. And that's when I realized, this hawker thinks I'm so poor, I cannot afford to eat chicken. Oh, I was so touched by his kindness. So I offered to pay him for the full meal. But he said, no, you pay for rice and vegetables only. I give you chicken free. You see, there's something in people. If they think that you are in need, they just want to be kind to you. So when Jesus asked this woman, a stranger, give me a drink of water. In the extreme heat, surely he could expect that kind of kindness from her. And yet the significance of Jesus asking the woman for water, it went beyond his physical thirst. Because this incident, the very fact that Jesus asked the woman for water, it shows that Jesus triumphed where the Israelites failed. Why do I say that Jesus triumphed where the Israelites failed? Can we see the next slide, please? When the Israelites were so thirsty in the wilderness, all they could think of was themselves, themselves. My thirst, Moses, give me water. And if you don't give me water, I will kill you. All they thought about was themselves. But Jesus was different. In his extreme thirst, he could think of someone else rather than himself. He could see in this woman all her needs, and all his compassion went out to this woman in her need. What was the need of the woman? Firstly, you should know that she was a Samaritan woman, And as the Bible says, Jews and Samaritans did not get along. In fact, the Jews hated the Samaritans because the Samaritans were a mixed race, partly Jew, partly Gentile. They were Jewish people who had intermarried with Gentiles. And the pure Jews, the so-called pure Jews, hated Samaritans. Hated them so much, they wouldn't speak to them. And some Pharisees among the Jews, they even prayed, Lord, when you raise the people in the resurrection, raise them back to life in the resurrection, don't ever raise any Samaritan. That's how some Pharisees prayed, because of the extreme hatred of the Jews for the Samaritans. But Jesus, a Jew, was looking at this Samaritan woman, and he saw right into her needs, right into her heart. Why was she coming to draw water at the well, at the hottest time of the day? Very likely to avoid other people. You know, other women, and yes, in those days it was the job of the women to carry water, not the men. These days, the men carry the water. I am so grateful for that. In the cathedral, we have a water system. It's like a huge container of water that needs refilling. And every time it's empty, I say to one of my male colleagues, please, carry water, carry water. And I can say this to the men, and it's the men's job. See, the women don't have to do it. But in those days, in Bible times, it was the job of women to carry water from the well, to carry it all the way home for the needs of the entire family. And you know, it's very hard work. It's physically hard work. And so the women, they would go to the well when it was cool, because when it's cool, you don't get tired so fast. But here was this woman. Why did she come at the hottest time of the day to draw water? It is because there was something in her life, something so embarrassing that she didn't want to meet other people. Something so embarrassing in her life that other people were gossiping about her and she didn't want to meet them. And so she went to the well at a time of the day where she wouldn't meet any other woman. No one else would be there. Jesus saw her need, greater than physical water. She needed something else. Next slide, please. John 4, 13 to 14. Jesus said, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. Amen. Jesus was offering her a different kind of water. Next slide, please. Spiritual water. It is the water that we all need, not just physical water, but we need spiritual water. Jesus, when he was talking to this woman, he spoke in language that she could understand. And so he used this term called living water. Next slide, please. John 4, verse 10. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. In those days, people understood the meaning of living water. Living water is fresh, flowing water. It comes from a source. It's flowing all the time. It's fresh. It's the opposite of stagnant water. Now, you know that if you keep water in a jar, in a container for a long time, it's stagnant water. And it's not healthy to drink that kind of water. Once I was doing some house cleaning and then throwing things from my home, I came across a bottle of mineral water. Big bottle. And I could see that the seal was unbroken, meaning it was a new bottle of water. And I remember some time ago, I had bought it for a barbecue, but then I went for the barbecue and I forgot to drink that water. So I had kept it in my house. And I said, now I found that bottle again, I'm going to drink this water. But praise God, the Lord said to me, why don't you check the expiry date first? So I checked the expiry date on the bottle, and whoa, true enough, the water had expired. Stagnant water is like that. You cannot keep it in a container for too long. It comes a point, it will be so unhealthy, it will expire. But living water is different. Next slide, please. Living water is fresh, flowing water. It comes from a constant source. It can be a fountain. It can be a waterfall. Fresh, living water. And Jesus said that he had this water to give to the woman. Next slide, please. John 4:14. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Amen. Jesus said he's got this water and he can give it to the woman. Of course, the woman wanted it. Who wouldn't want this water? It is superior to well water. And as the woman said, and you can read in John 4:15 in a version called New American Standard Bible. She said, if you give me this water, sir, I don't have to come all the way to this well. Meaning it's a long distance from home. It's very inconvenient to come all the way to this well. And so Jesus, actually he wanted to give her this water all this time. But he was waiting for her to say, Lord, give me this water. In the same way, you know that God wants to bless us, all of us, but he's waiting for something. You know what? Waiting for you to say, Lord, give me living water. Lord, do a miracle in my life. So the woman said to Jesus, sir, give me this water. Immediately, Jesus said to her, go and call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, yes, you have spoken the truth. You don't have a husband. Next slide, please. Jesus knew that this woman had had five husbands. Can you see the five husbands already? And now she was with a man, the sixth man. But he was not married to her, not her husband. And so Jesus said, yes, you have spoken the truth. You have no husband. Why did Jesus talk about the men in this woman's life? To confront her sin. This was the thing, her great shame, her great embarrassment. This was the thing that other people were gossiping about. This was the thing that the woman didn't want to face other people because they were talking behind her back, saying bad things about her, that she had married and divorced five times. And now she is with a man who's not her husband. Are we like that? We have a secret sin in our life. We have something in our life so embarrassing that we hope that no one in the world will ever know. And we will be happy if we can go to the grave with that secret, unrevealed. Jesus confronted the sin in the woman's life. But notice, even though he confronted the sin, he never condemned her. He never judged her. He merely brought up the sin in her life. In the same way, God wants to give us living water. But you know that sin separates us from God. Are we willing to confront the sin in our life? Are we willing to be truthful in the same way that this woman was truthful? The woman spoke the truth. And because of this, Jesus was pleased to give to her living water. So what is living water? We know it's fresh flowing water. But what is it? Spiritually, what is the meaning? You know, one of the beauties of the Bible is that it has many layers of meaning. So too with living water, it can mean many different things. At one level, living water actually means salvation. As Zechariah 13:1 says, can we see the slide? On that day, there shall be a fountain open for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. Amen. On that day, there will be a fountain in Jerusalem to cleanse people from sin. That fountain is Jesus. He's the fountain of living water. When we receive His salvation, not only Jews, but people all over the world, anyone who cries out to Him to receive this fountain will be cleansed. We will be cleansed. We will receive eternal life. Hallelujah. This is the first meaning of living water. At a second level, spiritual living water refers to the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Next slide, John 7, 37 to 39. Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Holy Spirit. Amen. This too is the gift of God, the Holy Spirit. For me, my salvation, the time that I was born again, was definitely a milestone. The next great milestone for me was my baptism in the Holy Spirit. It literally changed my Christian life. It made me so aware of God in a personal way. It changed my worship life. Before that, I was just singing. If I liked the tunes, if I didn't like the tunes, I wouldn't sing. But after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I began to know the meaning of worshiping God in spirit and truth. The baptism in the Holy Spirit also opened up my life to the great power of the Holy Spirit in so many areas, one area being healing. Just this week, I woke up on Wednesday morning with a stiff finger. This finger is the fourth finger on my left hand, the one that's next to the little finger. It was stiff, it was jammed, and I woke up that way. And so, of course, I prayed, and I asked some friends to pray for me also. And then Wednesday, I was working on this sermon. I was having a very hard time typing on the computer. If you've ever typed on a computer, minus one finger, you know, it's tough. So I was having a tough time. Even so, I felt a prompting from the Holy Spirit to lay hands on this finger and to pray. And so I did. And that was Wednesday. The next day, Thursday, I woke up in the morning. I felt a bit better. And I said, it's Thursday already, and I'd better do more work on this sermon. So I started to work on the sermon. Several hours of working on the sermon. After several hours, it suddenly dawned on me. There's nothing wrong with my finger. How come I'm typing for so many hours and I don't have to contort my hand in a funny position? My finger works perfectly. Amen. It wasn't jammed anymore because the Holy Spirit had healed me. Amen. Amen. This is what the baptism in the Holy Spirit does. It opens us up to the realm of miracles. It opens us up to the great and glorious things of God. And this is what Jesus wants to give to us, the living water of salvation. Have you received the living water of salvation? If not, you can receive the water today. Simply pray and ask Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior. Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? If not, also you can receive it today. There will be people to pray with you. In conclusion, let me tell you what happened on my recent day off. Can I see the next slide, please? I was at home with my two dogs, Jeffrey and Yoni, my two dogs. We were at home, and in my home, there is a balcony. But I normally close the door to my balcony because when I leave the door open, birds fly in. The birds fly in because they want to steal my dog's food. And so, of course, the dogs get angry and they start to fight with the birds. And the birds fight back. And you know how birds fight back? They bomb my house. And it becomes a war zone. It becomes so ugly, bird bombing everywhere. So I couldn't stand it. So normally I keep this balcony door closed. But this most recent day off that I had, my dogs, they actually wanted to go out to the balcony because they like to smell the plants. They like to get fresh air. So I opened the door for them. They went out and I sat by the door to watch my dogs and, of course, to guard my house so that no bird could fly in. At first, I was looking at my dogs. Then later, I looked at the door, you know, the balcony door. Strange. I never looked at that door before. I never noticed it before. I saw that the door was very old, very dirty, and some parts had even corroded. And as I was staring at this door, suddenly it hit me. This is my life. My life is like that. My life is very dirty. Some parts of my life are even corroded. And I became so emotional that I began to pray to God. And I said, you know, Lord, why did you ever choose me, a person so dirty, so unclean? Why did you ever choose me to be a pastor? Because I'm not worthy to be a pastor. And I'm not worthy to care for sheep and to care for flocks. And the Lord answered me this way. He brought my attention to the woman at the well, John 4. A woman so unclean, a woman with such great shame and embarrassment in her life that she didn't even want to meet people. Why did Jesus choose this woman of all people to reveal tremendous Bible truths, truths about salvation, truths about baptism and the Holy Spirit? Why did Jesus choose this unworthy woman? And then I realized, this is who God is. He is the God who loves the unworthy. He is the God who takes the unclean to make them clean. This is the God who cares for all of us. This is the God who wants to give us living water today. He's waiting for just one thing. Will you ask him? Until the woman at the well asked him, "Sir, give me this water." He didn't give it. But once she said, "Sir, give it to me," he was so pleased to reveal to her and to give to her living water. Will you ask the Lord today? Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's close our eyes and come to him. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, that even as you see us, you see not as other people see, and you don't see the externals of our life, but you see right into our hearts, Lord, and you see all our deepest need, all our deepest shame, all our sin. And yet you do not condemn us, Lord, but you give to us a way of repentance, a way of cleansing. Father, we pray, Lord, for all of us today who are crying out to you in our hearts. Lord, pour this fountain on me, the fountain of living water, a fountain of cleansing, that I would not be unclean and dirty, but I would be renewed, born again, and full of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This invitation is open to anyone who wants to receive living water. After the service today, I will be here. The ministry prayer team will be here. And we would love to pray for you. The invitation for you to come after the service. Come here. We will pray for you to receive living water. Amen.